Out-of-cycle update. Nothing's changed. Still all about the community. CryptoTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I am your host. I am going to be talking about a specific project, or I should say two, but there's one primary and one secondary project. However, I'm not focusing on the project specifically. I'm focusing on some of the comments that were made in said project on CoinMarketCap's community. Because I'm intrigued, I'm fascinated. It's not that I disbelieve what's being said, but I want to try to use my voice to share and elaborate a little bit more about what's going on. So the project is Volt. I did a couple of coverage points on Volt over time. And the first one I did, I just said, it's all about your community. If your community fails, you're going to fail. And I got attacked by that same community. So I backed off. It's fine. It's your project. If you want to do that, you can go and do that. It's cool. Because all I had said was, if your community fails, you're going to fail. I didn't trash the project. I didn't do that. There are things that I was critical of in the first version of Volt. And I had talked to Belize about this on the show too. In the first version of Volt, I felt the supply was just way out of whack and out of control and it needed to be constrained, and they fixed that. They released the new version and they constrained the supply and everything seemed like they were working towards a better product. And then I saw all the different things being released and that's cool, but it all came back to community at the end of the day. And I just said, so far it looks fine, but you're going to need to make sure your community stays in check and you don't get too far out of bounds. When I got attacked, I backed off it. It's cool. I don't care because I'm not in it, but I know people that are in it. I know Belize, you know, he was, and he was very strong on it. And then I saw the whole, I heard about the whole situation with Pablo Crow and influencers getting whatever. And I did a separate thing about the crypto cult. And that was actually Volt that I was referring to, where they bullied a couple of influencers, at least I'm aware of. They bullied them talking about this, you know, apples and trees and everything. And I criticism about selling, okay? Criticism about selling tokens and a message that you shouldn't sell. And this was something that Kumain you did too. So I just said, you're acting like a cult and I don't agree with bullying influencers. And I, you know, if people are going to sell, they're going to sell. Your job is to really make sure that more people believe in what you're doing such that it doesn't matter if somebody sells. If you look at SHIB, it doesn't really matter that people are selling, because there's always people buying back in it. That means that you had at least some level of confidence at some level above where your regular retail is. So I'm talking the higher level money flow is strong on the SHIB side. It's not strong on the Volt side. And then when the whole coin rabbit and everything happened, it seemed like a fiasco. I just kind of stepped away from it and I don't follow it close. But then as I was browsing CoinMarketCap, because I was about to do another victory lap about the chaos that's cult, I happened to notice Volt. It's ironic that they sound the same, right? Because maybe it's the same situation. Maybe it's the same people. I don't know that. I want to share a couple of these things because I want to get people's thoughts. And then I wanted to talk about some of the comments made. Just in fair disclosure, there were some slurs in what they said, and I will be replacing said slurs with the PC version of what they were trying to say. User Casper Whale says, quote, Voltoshi paying someone $5 an hour in a third world country to post on a daily basis. He's scamming all the Mexicans and Black Americans in this community, shaking my head. User Crypto Realism says, quote, in response, reminds me of Satama. They cynically targeted the Black community and young broke people living check to check with rap, MMA fighters, etc., promising tier ones while rich white devs built mansions, bought Lambos and McLarens, farming and dumping on these decent people's heads. At least Russ got OKX and let the token pump one time. Casper Whale responds and says, quote, Volt is actually worse than Satama. At least Satama pumped and gave them a chance to sell and become wealthy. Volt's all promised with no pump. Most in the community probably deserve to not make it. Their toxicity will come bite them in the ass when they miss the bull market entirely, believing in a pipe dream. Ooh. User Benny Mia says, quote, where the hell is the developer at? Everybody's selling because he's a layer. I think he means liar. If you say anything negative on the chat line, I'm assuming that's Telescam, they will kick you out. So I'm saying it here. The developer's full of shit. I'm selling everything too. Look at these new coins like Pepe hitting the billions. We're still in low millions. That's a spelling issue there. User Crypto Realm again. Quote, come on, Voltoshi. This community has worked its butt off for 2.5 years to hold this down. We pay 13% tax, 1.5 years you can pay for a tier one listing. Give us something to push. Nothing's coming off the roadmap for like a year. What the fuck? We used to get listings every week. Now all you do is say good morning at 2 a.m. and disappear. Let's fucking go. User Castlewell again. Quote, delisting from BitGet. Yikes. Voltoshi doesn't have what it takes to moon. He was too busy lining his pockets and the insiders that heavily promote this on YouTube and social media. And user Pax Moore claims that you can still buy Volt at BitGet, as in calling this person a liar. So I started there. First, it's to validate the claim because I want to be fair. Is it true that they got kicked off of BitGet? And just to be fair, it's kind of hard to get kicked off of BitGet. If you get kicked off BitGet, you probably have larger issues. I checked the pair on BitGet. It seems like the pair on BitGet is still there, but the volume is at zero. Same like Poloniex on Cult. So it's possible that it's impending. I can't say that that's true or not, but the volume zero. The order book is zero. So something's certainly wrong on the BitGet side, whether it got kicked off or whatever happened, I don't know. I will say BitGet flags it as a high-risk asset for why ever that happened. I don't know. User Market Movement says, quote, project owners are known to own numerous rug pull tokens over the years. It seems this project became popular and they stacked to it, but still, I think he means stuck to it. The owners are known scammers. I don't know if that's true. I certify this project to a level 3 rug pull. Certify, what is your qualification? It has no future. Okay. User Photo Dude says, quote, when I first got into crypto and I overpaid fees and went to version 1, then version 2, then version 3, this token was nothing but a way to grab, buy, sell, and transfer taxes during the bear market. Look at the latest on the website now. The bridge supply is locked at 0% burn after all the bullshit hype. Glad I found Casper at 4 cents. I got my own comments about that. If you want a meme, get Bob or Pooh, but stay away from the overhyped crap, Volt. Casper Whale, who clearly has some issues, says, quote, in response, bro, once Pablo and Power stopped getting free supply, they dipped and moved on to promoting the next AI scam coin. Voltoshi doesn't know how to run this project. Every move he makes is poorly executed. No wonder he chose to stay undoxed. Okay. Casper Whale again, quote, Voltoshi is a scammer who fails to deliver on what he says. 100 exchange listings, which 70 delisted Volt as of today, that date being June 23rd. Everything he, quote, accomplishes is just vaporware. Volti card is nothing special. Games suck and no one plays them. Volti Flex never came out. Pointless at this point. Volti Soft non-existent. Volti Eco had 2 cycles, now nothing. Name one thing Voltoshi's done and I can confidently tell you it's nothing special or is withered to nothing. The community's toxic as fuck that repels future investors looking to get in. Lucky if it does a 10x from here. All season won't pump everything. Rest in peace, Volt. User Schlery responds with an allegation that this may very well be Pablo Crow trashing the account. And then somebody else says, oh, I think it's actually Pablo that's making these comments. Okay. Interesting. If true, I don't know. I do know that there was a point where Pablo was apparently strong on Caspa. So a name Casper Whale, there may be a correlation. I'm not making a statement of definitive fact. I'm just calling out what they're saying. User Moonboy asks, what happened to this? Casper responds, quote, Voltoshi scammed the community. He's just waiting for the final pump to release a V4 to run away with the liquidity. The crazy thing is the community's full of sheep. They'll eagerly accept the V4 if he promises to dramatically reduce the supply. Caswell again, quote, community's getting played. Pablo is behind this project scamming the minorities. So this is implying that this is not Pablo. Anybody that got sold a dream, they'd be rich investing here is in for a rude awakening. Fake volume, scumbag dev. So this is not scumbag Bjorn. User Benny Mia again, quote, I like to speak freely without being kicked out of the chat room. Developers getting richer just by collecting all your monthly fee for the Volt credit card. The developer is a joke. I sold all my Volt, invested in another coin. I already 5x'd my money while Volt's going down, down, down. The developer is a joke. I'm calling him out. Let's see if he can make this coin run or is he just scamming everyone? Prove yourself. All right. So I'm going to do one last one here, because I think this is a user Caswell again. Last one. Quote, Voltoshi's a low rate dev that doesn't have what it takes to take this to the billions. I have a sneaking suspicion Pablo Crow is behind Volt. And when it failed, decided to start other projects, likely like Pampy, Promethean Prodigy, I guess. And now that ridiculous idiotic MSI, which is the monkey shit in you. The reason MSI has similar hype like Volt did in the beginning, And Pablo isn't coming off as someone that launched his first token in MSI. That scumbag will get what's coming to him. If he's the one behind Volt, it's Bo Wonder. I think he means no wonder. It hasn't pumped. He dunked on his own Hispanic people and the brothers of Volt. Whoever's in Utah needs to teach him a lesson. Stop. Now, geez, let's unravel all these statements made, comments made, especially this intersection to Saitama. The first allegation made is that Volt and Saitama both are doing or were doing what they could to appeal to Hispanic and Black community investors, as well as youth and those living check to check. So the low income, low middle class, and low class incomes with dreams of becoming a millionaire, right? Just hold. You heard that, right? That was a mantra in the past run. You heard situations of the MMA, you know, fighters on the brand, because that appeals to a certain segment. Now, whether that is aligned to Hispanic, Black, I can't say. I haven't run the numbers. But that's the statement being made, is that the appeal specifically targeting MMA fighters, specifically targeting rap artists. So Gervonta Davis is a fighter. He's a boxer. And that the thought is that the people that you're choosing would appeal to those communities. I'm pretty sure that, and this is Saitama, Hezbollah is not going to appeal to Hispanic or Black communities, but who knows? Maybe I could be wrong. So I don't know that that statement, I don't know that you can back up that statement with any definitive fact. Is it fair to say that there was certainly a desire to appeal to those communities in some way? In Saitama's case, I would say that's a yes. If you think back to the Willie D situation, they actually had messages on Twitter at the time stating that Willie D, part of his, and he himself was putting photos out where he's trying to help other, like, I don't know if it was Eve or some other rap. Oh no, it was Lady of Rage. He had a photo where he was with Lady of Rage helping her buy some Saitama. And you know, there was this push to get members of the Black community on board, and he added a little bit of cred to that. So is there some legitimacy to this? Yes. I do know with Saitama, there was at least a partial, and I forget the guy's name. There was another person in the Saitama ecosystem that was allegedly reaching out to the Hispanic community. There was no proof of this at all. I never saw, because I wasn't watching, any evidence that Volt specifically did that. Maybe, but I didn't see any evidence they did. So I can't substantiate that is the case. As far as Paulo Crow being behind Volt, I don't know that he was behind Volt. I doubt it. But I do know that he was a large investor in Volt. He was one that was holding the floor, as it's referred to. And then he sold out and he went to, I believe it was Promethean Prodigy next. And then now the Monkey Shiet Inu. And my understanding, and this is secondhand information, my understanding is that the reason he got out of Volt is because he didn't like the toxicity of the community and thought it had no future because of the way the community was going. That was my understanding. I don't know if it's true or not. As far as the Monkey Shiet Inu, I think that's really just it seems like a lot of these influencer types are just spinning up a token because they can, right? They're using their base and they're spinning a token in, you know, as part of the community thing, because thing to do. Hey, whatever, right? And it's up to individuals to make their own decision as to whether that's a viable reason to buy into it. You know, if you buy into something simply because your favorite influencer created it, it's on you if it craps, right? But if you buy in because it's got fundamentals, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you have these projects and they might have something strong about them. There may be something where it's worth looking at it, regardless of the fact that an influencer started it. Now, I can't think of any off the top of my head that fit that qualification because the vast majority of them are pump and dumps. But, you know, if they're going to start a token, they're going to start a token. I don't know that you can use that to prove that a person was aligned with Volt and they're somehow using that as some conspiracy to scam you on multiple token projects. Could simply be like with Terrarium, right? Terrarium has doctors. They were major backers in Saitama at the time. They dump out of Saitama. They go to Terrarium. They had no direct connection to Saitama. They just were investors, large-scale investors. Part of the challenge you got to understand is these large investors who hold the floor of your current project, if you want them to continue holding the floor so your project doesn't crap out, it's your job. When I say you, I'm talking not just the developer, but the community. It's your job to make sure that your project is appealing enough that they don't see a reason to do that. And part of the reason a lot of them have, like if you think of Lillian Finance, and Lillian Finance eventually became a sketchy something. But at the time, prior to all that fiasco, again, that was another one where there was money shift between the two projects, but Lillian Finance skipped away from Saitama because of all the chaos going, but they can't get the freaking mask working. They can't get things launched. They're incompetent. And they go off and build their own something. And they may have been large backers at some point. It's going to happen. You got to understand that's a reality of the situation. I can't say that that's evidence that they were somehow colluding to multiple projects. We're not talking like Cliff Fetner or freaking Shinja, where he clearly is, you know, colluding on multiple projects, that pump and dump, or the car salesman on Seifu. You know, there are certain known people who are clearly hopping from project to project with intent to crap them. Del Rug Pull, aka Del Crypto, example, right? So I don't know. But another statement is the last one that was made, another allegation. It's two part. One, this person was making the statement that the fees from VoltiCard, that the project itself, the token, was nothing. But the fees from VoltiCard and the taxes, the collection of those is where the money is being drained. Now, that's interesting, because if you remember, during the runs, the 2021 runs and early 2022s, we did see a lot of tokens that came with the tax structure, right? Buy tax, sell tax. And I said, to me, the buy tax doesn't make any damn sense. I don't understand it. But at the same time, some of these projects were claiming that the taxes were going to either do buybacks or something else beneficial to the project, yet they would still crap out. So if they were still crap, and then reflections or rebasing were used to kind of deflect and offset, but that didn't work either. Every single rebase token failed. Every last one of them, crap, failed. Regardless of having taxes, it didn't matter. So then if the taxes didn't benefit the project, you take something like Luna Classic, and then they're trying to introduce taxes against something, I think taxes against the burns. And people are saying it's not going to do any good because of the whitelisting. So then people started questioning, well, where's this coming from, this rush to taxes? And the statements being made here on Volt is that the taxes possibly were being pocketed by the developer, that they were just, that's how you're getting, it's not that you're dumping off the project directly, you're just collecting the taxes and getting fat off of it. Well, the problem there is that when they released, I think it's V3, I don't know, but I think it's V3, and they went to zero tax. That was actually criticized. It was criticized because when it went to zero base tax, there was something that somebody ran the numbers and they said that when you go to zero base tax as opposed to having a tax, it affects marketing wallet capabilities. You're not able to generate the money you need to market the project anymore. Now you have a 50-50 here. It's either taxes were used to generate money to market the project, which would have to go to the devs, or taxes are not needed because there's no reason to, but then how would you generate money to, you know, market the project? You'd have to sell off the tokens. So, but then people don't want to sell because that was the whole thing on Volt, is no, you, apples and trees and don't sell. Well, you can't have it both ways, folks. You can't say don't ever sell, but we can't have taxes to generate. And I think my theory as I close that there's in this community, and possibly even Saitama now in reflection, now that I hear this, I think there's just people that are so, they got so fixated on nothing other than the run-up. You know, things are going up and they're fine, but nobody's willing to step back and try to understand why things are going down. Volt, in my opinion, is going down because of nothing other than a community toxicity. As I called out, you need to come back and get my credit, because I called it out long before it got this bad. I called it out and said, this is going to be a problem for you. If you don't corral it now, it's going to be a problem. It was obvious to me. Anybody who's outside that bubble, you're looking at it, you're like, this is terrible. Seeing multiple, I looked at multiple projects and compared it to make that statement. It wasn't that Volt was somehow the same. It was unique in how bad it was. It was arguably worse than Saitama ever got to in the toxicity at its peak. And so seeing that, there's no way it can succeed. You're going to drive people off. They're going to see a bunch of kids and they're going to leave. Because people outside the bubble understand this. They understand we're looking for professionalism. We're looking for structure. We're looking for people that know how to act like adults, which is the only reason Terrarium got as high as it did. You had doctors, you had the professional credentials, they acted professional until they didn't. And then the moment they didn't, it never recovered. Lowly in finance, same thing. Professional presentation, professional chatter, the unprofessionalism of having his kid up there shilling it was bad. Other than that, it was presented as professional until they didn't, putting his kid up there, and they never recovered. And so if nobody else is seeing that easy pattern to success, if nobody else understands, like, it's really simple, right? You got to keep professionalism. Unfortunately, right? The ones with the wealth on the professional side are skeptical of cryptocurrency, which means you got to come with a product. And your product has to be more than games. It certainly can't be NFTs. If you look at every project that started without NFTs and then added NFTs, they all crapped. The ones that started only NFTs have crapped. Shirio, great example on that one. The ones that started without and then crapped later when they added it, Para, started without, added it, crapped. Satama, started without, added it, crapped. Shirio, started as an NFT project, crapped. Shama King Inu, started without, tried to add it, crapped. Volt, started initially without it, added it, started to crap. At what point do we start saying these things ain't working? They quick pump you for a minute, but they don't sustain. They don't last. And even projects that stayed, Everrise, right? It started, had no, the moment they added Riserbots, it crapped. How can, math, right? How can that be unless Leister's telling you the truth, which is, I think certain of the rich people out there are tired of seeing NFTs and they want to see more out of these projects. Because they want to see a clean intersection now to real business, which is why there's constant interest in XRP despite it having no real strong potential at this point, which is why there's constant chatter about Caspa and Jasmine, despite them not really doing anything yet. Because people now are desperate. The developers are desperate. The investors are desperate. They're all desperate. And no matter what, all the ones that are just coins on blockchains are the ones that maintain success. And these other ones just keep crapping out left and right. How can that be? It can only be one thing. The rich mother fathers, they're tired of all the NFT garbage. They're tired of seeing it and they want to see something different. And until we get a clue as an organization, as a structure, as a society, it's never going to get any better. That means you're not going to get any money. So you should be advocating for professionalism of the project. That starts with stop focusing on telescam. I set that aside. Anyway, I'm interested now. I'm not going to spend the time doing it, but I'm interested. Hit me up, cryptotalk.fm, or comments wherever this posts, goes all over the web. Screw Facebook, by the way. But it posts everywhere. Let me know. Am I going crazy when I said, if you're aware of a project that started without NFTs and added NFTs and maintained success. I don't mean that it's still alive. I mean, it's success up. Don't come back. Roll red, doot, doot, doot. You know what I'm talking about. There are projects right now that are green, even though we're having a slump because they didn't go to NFTs and they maintained a level of professionalism. Reddick is called a scam all over the web, and yet it's got 2 million in daily volume. Let's understand, folks, what are we doing, okay? And try to help the damn thing get better by encouraging the right approach, which is strong utility, actual things that are not just appealing to kids and say the word jeet and say the word keck, but things that are going to appeal to the rich people out there and then keep the community from getting overly toxic, which may mean don't try to focus your marketing in the direction of certain demographics that has a stronger probability of turning toxic at the end of the day, which may mean you don't get as much money as you might have thought you could have gotten, and be okay with that as a long-term patient strategy. Because what you might end up with, in my personal opinion, is a rise similar to what we saw with Ethereum Classic after the fork, where it was nothing, pennies, and it spiked over to three figures. That's what I'd like. I'd like that. And has sustained success, by the way. I'd like that. I don't want the garbage. But maybe we're stuck with the garbage. I'm not sure.